Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everybody. Happy Tech Tuesday. I am really excited about today because we get a chance to talk about technology, which we know is a big part of our lives nowadays. And so because of it, we want to learn more about it. We want to get a more accurate and clear picture of how we increase our behavior and interaction with technology. And so today's show is going to also assist with our understanding of technology, especially for you business owners and you startup founders and individuals that have an interest in technology. We're going to talk a little bit about that today with our today's guest. I am Dr. Baker, not only just the host of Doctor's Orders, but I own the only business hospital in the world covering 14 different countries. And all that really means is that it's my job to come and make sure that your businesses are healthy. And I do that by providing you information and ideation, imagination, and implementation, just different things that you can do to make sure that your business is better. In the event that you want to join our conversation today, you can do so by calling us at 859-291-2255. Once again, our call-in number is 859-291-2255. If you want to send us a message, you can do so at info@drbaker.us. Once again, that is info@drbaker.us. And so if you've been listening to the program at any length of time, you know that every day is a different topic. And so today is Tech Tuesday. And when we think about our businesses, technology reigns in our businesses a host of ways. Your website is technology. Your point of sale system is technology. And for many business owners, that's about where it stops. And in a lot of cases, that's fine. As long as those things are upgraded, updated, and that they're working to your benefit, then you can use those tools as efficiency. Other scenarios exist within innovation, and that's technological innovation, where someone creates something that changes how we work. We call that disruptive technology, or maybe it integrates into something that we already do, making us faster and better, or maybe it has everything to do with changing, in one instance, how we view the world and then what product or services we offer, and then allowing us to provide that product or service and a method that increases our distribution channels. Technology is able to increase our businesses and scale our businesses in ways today that was never seen before in yesteryear. And so we can be in multiple places. We can get access to resources. There's a lot that we can do in a positive manner when we think about technology. And I know all of you business owners have dealt with the frustrations when technology doesn't work, and it can slow you down if you don't have the right technology stack, or if you don't really understand what you're doing with a tool. It can slow your operation down. It can increase frustration, on and on. Well, considering that we're thinking about frustration, you know, when you're looking for a resource, sometimes it's easy to use technology to find a resource. I know many people use Google as a resource when they need information. Whether the information is accurate or not, people lean on Google for that start or that baseline of information. And our guest today, Stephen Fuller, the founder of Guided App, is going to talk about a technology that he's created that helps us as a resource. So without further ado, I'd like to bring in today's guest, Stephen Fuller of the Guided App. How you doing today, Stephen?
Good, Dr. Baker. Thank you very much for the opportunity and for having me on the show.
Fantastic. And glad you're here. And so we want to set the standard and the baseline for our listeners. Walk everyone through what is the Guided App and your role and what it is that you guys do.
Sure. So the Guided App, it's an app for on-demand video calls with experts for advice and consultation. So the value for our customers, which include DIYers, hobbyists, entrepreneurs, and just, you know, lifetime learners in general, the value there is specific advice for their specific need at the moment they need it. So this saves them time and money and allows them, you know, to have a conversation with somebody rather than, I mean, you can't have a conversation with an article on the internet or a video on YouTube. And then, you know, the other side of our marketplace that we're trying to create is the experts. And so the value for our experts, which include a huge range of different types of professionals, everything from plumbers, interior designers, furniture assemblers, golf coaches, estheticians, lactation consultants. It's really supplemental revenue and the opportunity to gain new customers. So we're talking about increasing revenue, possibly decreasing some overhead. And I'm the CEO and co-founder, and that's my role, is really trying to drive this business, drive this product, towards product market fit and, getting it out there in front of as many people as possible.
Well, I think what's fascinating is how you're taking our world's problems, just our everyday issues that we may have, and then you're providing a service that allows people to tap in right now. I know that today I've had to use some level of service. I'll give both examples, and you can tell me how the guided app fits into that. Well, I just had a bathroom remodeled, and with that, I actually had two bathrooms remodeled. This one was done by a different contractor, and this particular contractor didn't put a towel bar in my bathroom. And so in there, I'm thinking, heck, I kind of need a towel bar. So I go to Home Depot, and I have no idea what I'm looking at, and I get one of the customer service reps to assist me in the bar selection, if you will, and tells me just simply to drill it in. And I'm sitting there scratching my head saying, I don't really want to drill into the tile that I just had done. There has to be a better solution. And so he shows me some other adhesive methods to use. Well, in that instance, I'm still scratching my head because I'm not handy. It would be, okay, how do I go about doing this? And essentially what you're outlining is that there would be an expert on tap through the guided app that I can either tap into immediately or maybe set an appointment, and they can help me understand how to put that towel rack up in my shower. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So we currently don't have functionality to set up appointments. It is, although we do plan on implementing that functionality a little bit later on. Right now, it is just the on-demand. So, right when you're in that bathroom looking at that wall and you start to have these questions, before you go over to Home Depot, yes, there would be somebody on the app where you submit your request. And I'm thinking for this type of application, it'd probably be a handyman, or maybe even a general contractor that you could connect with. You would submit your request. It would go out to all of the handymen or contractors that are on the app. They would get a notification, and then they would choose whether to accept or decline the video call request. And as soon as one of them accept the video call request, within a minute, your video call with that professional would start. And you would actually, have the advantage of showing them, your particular setup, what you're working with, and they would be able to, guide you through understanding exactly how you could, give you some options, what you can do, again, for your unique circumstances. And then that way, when you go to Home Depot, instead of having the conversation, with the individual that you spoke with and, really still having a lot of questions, you could walk into Home Depot pretty much knowing exactly what you want to do and exactly what you need to do it. You can walk in there, get that stuff, and then, go back and take care of it. And, you gain that knowledge, for relatively low cost. Obviously, it'd be much lower than having somebody come up and put this towel rack up for you. And so, that's where the value, from the customer side is. And then, just kind of more generally speaking about the bathroom remodel, throughout the remodeling process, last year I went through a bathroom remodel, and I actually used the app a couple times. So, one, I used it to talk to a plumber because the contractor told me that the way that my plumbing lines were running, that he was going to basically switch the side that the shower head was on because of the way that the piping was running. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to leave it on the side it was on. So, after he left that day, I got on the guided app, got on a video call with the plumber, and I showed him what was going on. And he was able to say, no, this is what you can do. This is what you need to do. So let your contractor know that, this makes a lot of sense. And if he could do this. And the next day, the contractor showed up and I told him, hey, I want to do this. And he's like, and I also shared with him, by the way, I spoke with a plumber who explained, that this is an option. And the contractor said, okay, we'll make it happen. And that was kind of the end of the back and forth on that topic. And then another topic came up. So the area where the tub shower was going to go was a little bit wider than your standard tub. So he wanted to basically build like a false wall. So I got on the guided app with an interior designer, and she's like, no, don't do that. It's going to look horrible. Here are your options. And so, again, I told told the contractor when he came back, no, this is what we're going to do. And then, you know, he went ahead and made it happen. And so even for stuff like, you know, when you go to the doctor, and, you know, this analogy is very applicable to this, you know, to your business, Dr. Baker. When you go to the doctor, it's always a good idea to get a second opinion. And so, you know, the guided app can function not only for advice and consultation, but it can give you, you know, a second opinion from somebody who's a little bit removed from the situation, a little bit, you know, on the outside looking in, and can give you a little bit maybe more unbiased opinion or advice. Just because, you know, things that I wanted to do, going back to my bathroom remodel, you know, they probably were going to cause the contractor to have to do a little bit more work than the solutions he was proposing. And so by having the, you know, the advice from professionals, I can, you know, give clear guidance, you know, and not depend only on my contractor in those situations.
Well, you mentioned a lot of things that I think are fantastic before we jump into the tech side of things, is that you are looking for pragmatic solutions to everyday or common issues. And that's what we're talking about when we're saying having a relationship with technology that allows you to be more efficient, or to make you more productive, or to make you more effective, is that you sat out in the world and said, you know what, here's a problem based on these realities. I've seen them. I've heard other people talk about them. I'm going to create a technology that allows for that to happen. So now you have the convenience factor. Walk us through a little bit of what those early stages look like when you had made the decision that, number one, this is an issue, I'd like to solve the problem. Was this your first concept, or were there other concepts that you looked at and said, I would like to do the business this way? How did that come to fruition?
Yeah, so this concept was really born out of, again, a very, you know, pragmatic situation. So I grew up in Southern California, but I was living in Rhode Island. I had issues with a septic tank, never had a septic tank before. And so I ended up, you know, spending several $100s. And it took, you know, 3 months to get a situation resolved that very easily could have been resolved with three video calls with you know, a couple different professions to kind of narrow down what the issue was and get it addressed. And after going through that experience, you know, I just thinking, like, there's got to be an easier way. Like, you know, several $100s, and a few months later, this is something that could have been taken care of within, you know, a day or two. And maybe, you know, less than $100. And so I started thinking about that, and you know, I really thought about the concept behind Uber and Teladoc. You know, those, you know, most people are familiar with Uber, and a lot of people familiar with Teladoc or telehealth. And I just said, look, if I can talk to a professional right now, on demand, just like if I wanted a ride somewhere, I could get a ride and I could go somewhere right now. If I had that on demand accessibility, and I have the video call, the video call is key, being able for the professional to see exactly what the situation is. If I could have some way to combine those two technologies, this would be the solution that would get me from, you know, several $100s or a few $100s and several months down to a day or two and, you know, maybe like $60 or $70. And so that was kind of the genesis behind the idea, you know, and then from there it was a matter of, you know, figuring out, you know, how to make it happen.
Okay. And in that, you said, all right, I've got a solution here because of other like technologies. Obviously, if Uber didn't exist, if telehealth didn't exist, maybe the idea doesn't come, maybe it does, but it opens the door for new operations and new applications. And as you set forth to do it, talk to us a little bit, as a startup founder, some of the early struggles that you may have faced that we can be aware of if we're a business owner out here, or we have a concept that we think we'd like to launch. Walk us through some of those early struggles.
Yeah, so one early struggle was, do I try and build this thing myself, or do I find somebody to build it for me? And so my initial thought was, I'm going to try and build this thing myself. You know, I've had, you know, some programming background, some experience in that. So what I didn't have was, you know, so for development, there's front end and back end. I didn't have back-end development experience, so I said, okay, let me take a class and learn, you know, how to do, you know, back-end development. And so about a few weeks into that class, I just kind of had the thought that, look, this is good, but if I continue down this route, you know, it's going to take me 2 years to build this thing and figure all this out. And I could probably get the product, you know, to market, at least the MVP to market in probably a third or even a quarter of the time if I just find somebody, you know, to build it for me rather than building it myself. And so, you know, that was an initial dilemma, an initial problem. But then, of course, when I made that decision to find somebody to build it for me, you know, then you run into the problem, okay, well, who do you, get to build it, and how do you even know what to look for in identifying a developer to help you build it? And so that, you know, that process was a big challenge. I was living in Puerto Rico at the time, and I was waking up at, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to talk to developers all over the world, you know, development companies all over the world. That was a big challenge, but I was fortunate enough to know somebody, who does development and had a few conversations with that person, who gave some really good advice. One piece of advice I think that was key was, you know, what platform I was going to use to develop the app. And so he told me about React Native, which is a front-end platform, you know, for development. That's it's important. It was really critical. One feature of it is that it, you know, it's applicable across, you know, multiple applications. So iOS, Android, web applications. And so as an entrepreneur in a startup, it's really important because you can make a decision to, you know, develop specifically for iOS and then, you know, separately for Android. But then you have to basically, you know, build the same application, you know, on two different platforms. But React Native gives you the opportunity to, just use one platform for both applications. And then, even looking down, you know, future-wise, if you're going to have two development teams, one for iOS and one for Android, you know, there's more overhead associated with that strategy. And so React Native gives you the opportunity to have, a smaller footprint as far as your development team. And so, you know, that was very helpful. And then, you know, going through the process, it made it a little bit easier because I was able to identify those developers, you know, who were able to offer, you know, building the application using the React Native platform. And so, you know, that became like, you know, that eliminated, you know, several, you know, possible developers and really, you know, helped the process.
So talk to me about the learning curve. You know, you already had a little bit of experience and you wanted to put that experience to good usage, but you also found out that the task was a little bit more daunting than you originally had considered. What was that learning curve like? And then what was the cost of really playing in the space to deal with that learning curve?
Yeah, I mean, that learning curve was steep. I mean, given my limited experience in development, it was steep. And so, I mean, by no means do I consider myself a technical founder. And so, you know, the cost of that learning curve was really time and effort. And so I didn't want to wait. You know, back when I originally started working on this, we were coming out of the pandemic, and you know, it was very good timing, you know, to get this product, you know, in the App Store and in the Play Store. And so the longer I waited to do that, you know, the risk was losing, you know, some of the familiarity that, you know, a lot of people had gained during the pandemic with things like, you know, putting off, having people come to your house to do fixes and, you know, maybe trying to do some of those things first. A lot of people started, you know, more people started having video calls during that time. You know, there's at least one advertisement I can think of, you know, where, you know, grandparents who were not able to be visited, you know, by their kids or grandkids and they normally would have visits, you know, started doing video calls. And so, you know, the combination of people trying to do more themselves, as well as the proliferation of video calls, you know, even before the pandemic, but really, you know, I think a huge increase during the pandemic, you know, usage of that technology. I think the cost was losing some of that traction and familiarity, and, you know, maybe getting too far removed, you know, from that. I think, you know, that's what you lose, you know, by that going through that learning curve and, you know, taking the time to do it myself.
Well, in that instance, it also makes you a little bit more patient. Is that right? Because you might want things to hurry up and happen, but they can't because you're still learning so much throughout the development process, the customer discovery process, and really making sure that your product aligns. How did you have to deal with different aspects of patience when it came to let's really learn about my product and build it out as opposed to launching your MVP?
I mean, patience is huge. Yeah. I mean, there's so much, you know, patience is, it's such a complicated thing, you know, for a startup, because it's this constant battle between trying to move as fast as possible and then picking, you know, figuring out, you know, where you need to practice patience. And, you know, through the whole process there, you know, you have to practice patience. You have to figure out, you know, pick, you know, where you're going to, you know, kind of sit back and instead of making a decision right away, you know, wait a little bit, you know, to make a decision. I think there were several points throughout the process where, you know, that was the case where if we don't need a decision right now in this moment, let's put off making a decision and have patience to do that. And, you know, potentially come out with a better outcome or a better decision just by taking more time to do research or taking more time to think about things.
You know, looking at technology, you know, sometimes it's about the technology, sometimes it's the business model, sometimes it's the building out and the development of all components. Where did you find yourself spending the most amount of your time from the beginning?
I mean, through the development phase, I mean, I've now transitioned now that, you know, the app is out there, I spend my time very differently. But, you know, through that early stage when development was going on, you know, I spent a lot of my time researching markets, you know, to hopefully get prepared for after the launch. But also, I mean, still I was very involved in the development process. You know, there's questions that come up during development, small decisions that come up. And really revising the user requirements and, you know, making sure that they fit exactly, you know, what the vision I had in my mind was. And so spent a lot of time, you know, staying connected with the development team and getting updates and making small decisions. So that's where I spent a lot of my time. Now, obviously, with the product out there, you know, the time that I spend now is very different.
You know, and it transitions so much because a lot of times that I see with my patients is that they don't understand that technology company is still a company. And so there's very traditional behaviors that you still have to do, such as business development, commercialization, legal. And so how do you balance all of that as a new startup founder?
I don't know that it is a balance. You know, I mean, it's really tough. I mean, I think, you know, there's some saying, you know, you prioritize or you make time for what's a priority, right? You make time for those things. So there's not enough time for me to do everything that needs to get done. So, it's just a matter of, okay, what do I need to make time for at this point? And, you know, depending on the day or the week, you know, that might be meetings, you know, with investors. It might be meetings, you know, trying to develop the supply side of our marketplace, you know, trying to get those professionals on board. It might be sending messages or making calls or walking into businesses. And, you know, that's really dictated on what the goal is that we're working towards, you know, for the week or for the month or for the quarter.
You know, you talk about your team and how important has team building been inside of growing the company? Because, you know, many entrepreneurs operate as solopreneurs, and sometimes in the tech world, you have a founder and a co-founder, But talk to me about how important teamwork is and how you're able to select who you work with, who you partner with. What does that look like for you?
I mean, teamwork is huge. I mean, it's, you know, during the early stages, I mean, there are three of us. So there's me, my co-founder, and then we have a third person who helps with customer service. And it's crucial to make sure you have the right team. Now, one thing that's nice is that it's a small team. So if you need to change direction or you need to change the priority very quickly, it's not difficult to make that happen. You know, it's just you communicate to two other people and you start working towards, you know, the new direction or the new priority. But the skill set, you know, of the team is critical. So my co-founder is an employment lawyer, and, you know, his skill set, you know, that he brings is, you know, our professionals are not employees of the company. And so we need somebody well versed in, you know, what some of the challenges are in working, you know, with that strategy or you know, how we're setting up our business, but also the future of, you know, where do we need to be, what do we need to be thinking about, you know, 2 to 3 years from now, and what do we need to be doing now to try and set us up for success. And then for us, and specifically for our business, you know, customer support, being able to support the professionals that are, you know, signing up for the app, you know, and walking them through, you know, they might be having an issue, you know, doing something during the setup and that sort of thing. I mean, it is critical to have the right people in the right place, you know, at this stage.
Well, you know, when you're looking at different components of the business, and you mentioned the skill set, and when you think about a tech company, oftentimes the technology itself is what people believe is the primary function of the company. But I can make an argument that there are other realities, such as one you mentioned, the legalities of it, that also can serve to be very important. If that's not bolstered, then your business can crater. How have you seen your own behaviors change and your own skill set change away from some of the backgrounds, the technical backgrounds that you've had, to wearing this hat, you know, being a founder and the amount of time that you guys have been engaged with the Guided App? How have you seen your behaviors change and your skill change?
Yeah, so, you know, I think it was in a conversation we had, Dr. Baker, where I think you mentioned, look, you have a, it's like if we were trying to run a restaurant, you have a meal, you have a really good meal that you can make, but you don't have a waiter to help order it. You don't have a hostess, you know, to help get people seated and you know, and basically the business. You don't have the business behind your product. And so that was a huge eye-opening moment, you know, in our conversation for our business, because that really just brought it to the foreground and made it obvious that, look, you know, we need to implement systems and processes, you know, to build our business. It's not enough to just have a technology. It's not enough to just have an app. In fact, you know, that really becomes, that was the easy thing at this point, was getting the app built and getting it out there. You know, that was the easy thing. The hard thing is building the business around it, is building our marketplace, is building our supply, building our demand side. And so that's the skill set, you know, that has changed, or that we have realized we need to, we've been developing and growing, is, okay, you know, for this market or for this vertical, you know, who do we need to talk to? You know, how do we go about talking to them to get them to sign up to support, you know, that industry on our app? And then, you know, customer acquisition in this marketplace is, of course, a whole other skill set. And it's like, how do we get, you know, this in front of people, and how do we get it in front of the right audience for a particular vertical? And so, you know, those skills of, one, you know, just managing the business, you know, setting up the processes, putting the processes in place, so that we, you know, we each have our own roles and that we're working towards, you know, specific objectives. You know, that's how the business has changed. And the skill sets that go along with being able to perform those activities, you know, those are the skill sets that we're working on, you know, growing and developing.
Makes a lot of good sense. We're going to take a quick station break for identification. And today's Tech Tuesday is brought to you by none other than Pro Elite Training. Pro Elite Training is the patented way to train with athletes through the metronome of music to increase your rhythm, tempo, and pace. Never has there been a time that you could train your muscle memory to music in a way that allows you to increase any level of skill set that you would like to have, whether it's in basketball, football, self-defense, or boxing, or even functional running. Do it with NBA players, NFL players, MMA fighters, and other influencers to help your skill set get higher if you're a sports enthusiast or if you're an athlete that is pro elite trained. You can get it by going to getproelite.com, or you can get it by going to your app and Play Store at Pro Elite Training. And if you just now joined us, we are here speaking with Stephen Fuller, founder of the Guided App. And so we're talking all things tech, all things co-founder, all things startup. And if you want to join our conversation, you can do so by calling at 859-291-2255. And you can send us a message at info@drbaker.us. That call-in number again is 859-291-2255. And so, Stephen, just again, if we have any new listeners coming in, maybe they joined us late, tell us what the Guided App is again.
Sure, yeah. The Guided App is an app for on-demand video calls with experts for advice and consultation. So the value for our customers, which include DIYers, hobbyists, entrepreneurs, and lifetime learners, is specific advice for their specific need at the moment they need it, which saves them time and money. And allows them, you know, to have a conversation, which you can't do with a YouTube video or an article on the internet. And then the value for our experts or our professionals, which again include a huge range of different industries, but we have plumbers, interior designers, mechanics, furniture assemblers, golf coaches, estheticians, lactation consultants, and you know, a whole list of other industries we intend to add. The value for them is additional or supplemental revenue or income, and then the opportunity to gain new customers, which, you know, all leads to increasing revenue and some possible decrease in overhead.
Well, you know, earlier in the segment, I began talking to the audience about their relationship with technology. And you mentioned something, you know, in your intro that I find to be really interesting and intriguing, is that we have a psychological connection to technology now, to where if someone wants to learn how to do something, they're going to go to YouTube. If they want information, they are going to go to Google for that info. But in this instance, you're actually taking it a little bit further than that, because now it's about interaction, which mimics our traditional behaviors, but by using a current resource. Talk to me about how some of the adoption have been, the early adoption, if you will, on the technology, the Guided App, and what people think and or say when they engage.
Yeah, so the feedback has been really positive from both sides of the market. So again, you know, we're talking about our customers and then our professionals or experts. And so the feedback from the customer side, you know, has been pretty in line with our assumptions about the value. And so our customers have said, you know, this was great. It saved me a lot of time. I would have spent hours, you know, searching on the internet for an answer to my question. So, you know, for example, we had a call with an interior designer. The customer wanted to know what type of window coverings she should use in a specific room in her house. And you're not going to be able to go online and get the answer to that question, that specific question, you know, for that. I mean, one key piece of information was the lighting in the room. And how that affected, you know, the decision that, you know, for the window coverings. And so, that was the value that customer highlighted, was the time saving. And then she also highlighted, the money savings. You know, for a question like that, you don't want to hire an interior designer to come in and, you know, come into your house and, give you just that advice. If you're going to have an interior designer give you advice that you want to be, you know, on a bigger project and really get your money's worth. And so this was a way to still get that advice and that experience and knowledge from the interior designer without spending the money and without, you know, spending the time. And so from the customer side, that's been, you know, the value there and the feedback. And on the other side, from the professionals, it has also been pretty much in line with our assumptions. And so the feedback has been, yes, you know, this is great because it's convenient for me.
It's when I want to work or when I have some extra time to make some extra money, I just, you know, I'll go online and, you know, I'll accept video calls and then I'll make extra money. And one thing, you know, that we didn't realize, but some of the feedback that came back was a lot of professionals and experts or people who have expertise, they do this anyway. They're giving people advice. You know, they're walking them through problems and this sort of thing, but they're doing it for free. And for a lot of these people, you know, they're basically giving away their knowledge and their experience for free. And so this app not only allows customers to save time and money, but it gives, you know, these experts a platform to get paid for giving their advice and, you know, giving their experience that, I mean, they've gained, you know, through hard work, through education, and, you know, working with customers. And so, you know, we think it's important to make sure when these people are giving advice, you know, that they get some compensation for it.
Well, I think one thing that you're doing is you're supplementing the industry, allowing other business owners and or contractors, which is still a form of business ownership over yourself, but you're allowing them to diversify their offering in a way that sticks within their lane. They don't have to go outside of themselves. They're doing something that they are familiar with, that they're comfortable with, and that their audience recognizes. However, it's also the ability to monetize it as well. When we think about the guided app, does it feel really techie, or does it feel like something that's usual and standard, even to people that may not frequent apps in order to gain services?
Yeah, so, I mean, that was what you're talking about was critical. And is critical, you know, to making this app work, because we basically have to make this so intuitive, you know, that people will start to think of this before, at the same time, they're thinking of doing a search in Google or YouTube. And so it can't be techie. It has to be, you know, just very easy to use. And so we took that into account, you know, as far as the design and how we built the app. And so it does feel, it does not feel very techy. It feels very intuitive. It's very simple and straightforward to use both for customers and for experts as well. I mean, it's you may have to have some experience with technology, you know, like if you've never used an iPad or an iPhone or a smartphone, there may be a learning curve there. But I think, you know, at this time, you know, most people, you know, have smartphones. If you have a smartphone, this is going to be, you know, it's going to be very intuitive for you.
And that's good news. When you're making technology, one thing that we talk about is the UX, UI, you know, the user experience, the user interface, and what does that mean to how someone participates and interacts with your technology. Now that you guys are on the other side, do you view yourself as a technology company, or do you view yourself as a service company?
We do view ourselves as a tech company. You know, we are leveraging technology to provide a service, and that service is very important. You know, we still consider ourselves a tech company for sure, but, you know, absolutely service. It's built into, you know, it's critical for success. We without providing good service and having a good user experience, you know, we're not going to be successful. So although we still view ourselves as a tech company, you know, it is critical that we have good service.
You know, what have you considered to be some of your wins? You know, we've talked about some good things that you've been able to do, but as a business owner, as a business doctor, and as I work with my patients, I always find wins for my business to say, did you see what you just did? Calculate that and tally that as a win. So therefore, discouragement doesn't set in. You recognize that you're on the right path, and therefore you don't get lost and you don't get discouraged throughout it all. What have been some of the wins that may have come in an unexpected manner, that maybe you were anticipating one thing, something else happened, and you said, oh my goodness, we were able to get across that or past that, or, you know, we thought it would take us longer to do this, but actually it was shorter and we did that. Are there any wins that you recollect as you were going through the journey?
Yeah, you know, I think our wins have been, maybe just on a smaller scale. I mean, it's obviously, you know, when there's a call and the customer gets advice and gets a solution to their problem, obviously that's a huge win. I think, you know, that probably goes without saying or is obvious. But it's interesting that some of the other wins are on more on sort of the business process side or the operations side. So, for example, getting our CRM tool up and running the team using it, having a reminder to follow up with somebody, and that follow up turning into somebody signing up to provide a service on the app as a professional, that's a huge win for us. And it's kind of funny, but I mean, just having a process in place and having somebody sign up for the app because we have a process in place to try and get people to sign up, you know, just something like that is a huge win for us. And then, of course, that leads into, you know, say we want to have a certain number of professionals, signed up for a particular industry within a specific time frame, having the tool in place and then being able to achieve that goal, you know, that's could be considered something small, but, you know, those are the wins that have really gotten the team excited. Because at the end, you know, it is these small steps that are driving us, you know, towards a greater goal in really growing this company.
What were some of the pitfalls? And this is an opposite question. Obviously, we're not looking for any of your company's private secrets, but anything that you can share that served as a pitfall, a barrier, an obstacle to where you said, we have to jump this thing, or this has been really difficult to carry as a burden. Has there been anything that you believe you can share?
You know, there have been tons of those, Dr. Baker, tons. they happen all the time. And, you know, I would say that, you know, sometimes we do a good job with them and sometimes we don't. No, one thing that came to mind immediately, and I'll this is a current example, so we're actually struggling through this, and it is a pitfall because, you know, we haven't come up with a good solution. But one of the challenges we have right now is that, we're trying to build a marketplace, and so this is a unique challenge. Most businesses just, because they have a product or service, they're focused on getting the customer acquisition, getting just customers to use it. So it's one-sided, right? Whereas we have a two-sided marketplace, and the battle we have is the best way to go about building this marketplace. And so we get advice, or we have discussions around casting a wide net. You know, let's just have a bunch of industries, see which one gets traction, and then let's just go all in on that one industry. So that's one strategy. The other strategy is to just pick one industry and go all in on it. But there's some risk there, you know, that it might not work out and it might have worked better with another industry, although you still might, you know, gain some knowledge and some learnings, you know, from that. And so, you know, that's been a struggle on making the jump into focusing on one particular industry. So far, the strategy has been casting a wide net and seeing, you know, what gets traction, and then, you know, trying to focus more of our attention and effort, you know, on that industry.
Well, I think you're talking about something that I talk about daily. I talk about it daily on the radio show. I speak about it daily in my assessments and through my patient appointments, is how to determine distraction versus direction. And in that case, all business owners who are looking for new market potential, who are looking for ways to diversify their offering, we're always struggling with what should I participate in or what should I ignore. And with an app as comprehensive as yours, I can see where that would be a difficult challenge, considering that it's so much that people need assistance with. And so if you just sat at home and thought about all the things that you might call someone for, or you go into the workplace and you might think about all the things you need assistance for, well, that could change the number of industries tremendously, to where now we need an expert or at least a professional governing and manning all of those different industries. And that can be difficult for any startup to determine how do we get good footing in the marketplace when we might be spread thin. Mm-hmm. But simultaneously, if we don't cover them, we lose eyeballs because maybe they came to get guidance from us and we were unavailable in that realm, so therefore they didn't select another one and we lost that individual. You know, customer acquisition costs can be really high, and sometimes individuals or companies track that, sometimes they don't, but I think commonsensically we know that it's hard to get a human to participate with your offering in a very organic way. And then to lose that person feels really detrimental because you're doing all you can to capture that person. How have you guys dealt with just, you know, the bounce back, if you will? How have you dealt with that as a team? And let me clarify just a little bit, is that when things don't go the direction you want them to go in, you find a hiccup in the technology. Maybe you've been working to build something that hasn't worked well, and you had to pivot a little bit. How well have you guys done with that, or has that been like a more of a slow rotor and it kind of forced you to go off course a little bit? Give us a sense of what that looks like from your perspective, considering that you're leading the charge.
Yeah, you know, I think we're going through a lot of that right now. I think there's, you know, there's so much of that going on right now. It presents a lot of challenges, and it's difficult. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of an example that, you know, that could help, you know, sort of illuminate what you're talking about.
Well, I think many times is that you set out to do one thing, and then something else comes along, and then you have to pivot. So let's say, for an example, inside of the guided app, you say, you know, what would be great is if we had a handy person to come in here and help us fix some items. But really, maybe it was hard to find your first couple handymen, and you found contractors for roofing, or you found it for somewhere else, so now you have to pivot in there. I know a lot of companies, they have a difficult time doing that, especially with startup founders, is that they have a concept for one thing, but opportunity presents itself in another way, or they run into an obstacle that you simply can't solve at that time, so you have to do something else in the meantime. And what I'm wondering is, did you guys run into those realities to where maybe the thing you wanted to launch first, you actually launched third? Or maybe you wanted to go in this direction, but you had to put that down and pick it back up later. Did those realities ever happen to you?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, probably a really good example of that right now is, in talking to some business owners, what we found is, this is actually in sort of real time, you know, in the past week or so, we've been considering, if not a full-on pivot, maybe just, you know, trying out another concept to see what kind of traction it gets. But it is providing a video call platform for specific businesses. So, for example, lots of times we'll go ahead and use plumbers as an example. But I've spoken to plumbers who they, you know, take calls in the evening or in the late afternoon after they're done with the job or the jobs for the day. They'll take some calls. I think I mentioned this earlier, you know, giving people advice and having those conversations follow up, right? Mm-hmm. And I was talking with a plumber, and he said, you know, I'm not really interested in going on your app to talk to people, you know, from all over the country, but I might want to use your app, you know, just for my business, so my customers can have a video call with me directly through your platform. And so, you know, we've begun to look into this a little bit, and what we're finding is that oftentimes some businesses are turning away customers because they don't have time, you know, to take on the additional customers. And it's some of it is because some of the customers that they are spending their time on, some of those issues could be resolved through a video call. So, for example, you know, staying with the plumber example, this plumber might get called out to a house for an issue. He'll show up, and it's a leak, let's say, and he tightens a screw and he fixes the leak. Well, he just spent, you know, at least an hour, maybe 2 hours, of his time traveling there, you know, coming from another job or something like that. And then he has to sit there or stand there in front of his customer and say, yeah, you know, that'll be $150. It's just for me coming out. I have to charge you this, you know, for my time. And that doesn't, I mean, the plumber's not happy about that or proud of that. And the customer doesn't feel great about it because, hey, if I could have just had a video call with you, you could have looked at this and told me, and, you know, would have cost me $15 or $20. And, then the plumber would have been able to take on another job that he actually needs to be at, really does need a plumber, you know, to go and do the work. And so this situation applies to a lot of other businesses. And so we're considering hosting video calls, you know, video calls for customers for different businesses. So this is like, this is an active example of what you're talking about. This will require, if we do, you know, fully pivot into this or even partially pivot into this, it will require, you know, some changes on the development side. You know, we'll have to change the way our payments are processed, for example, and that sort of a thing. But and it's a little bit different of a business model because we wouldn't be charging the customers in those instances. We would be, you know, the businesses would be, you know, paying a fee to us, you know, to host us on their host this platform for them. And so it's a big decision, you know, and it's but it's, you know, it's something that we would have to pivot.
Well, I think that when you, if you're the business owner, you're the plumber, you can build a technology and then have that be your own method of communication to your clients, or you can find an, you know, on the shelf remedy. Well, you serve as that remedy. So even if they have to charge the fee, you have a scenario where that costs less than me doing a full-blown integration myself as a plumber. You just sped up my sales cycle. You just minimized frivolous drives that I don't necessarily have to take. And the drives I do take, I've already confirmed them through this method before I went. So now my efficiency rating is significantly higher. So the pros are all there. So in that instance, when we talk about technology and its uses, the example you gave are all the different ways that we can grow our business, remain sustainable. There's going to be more that you see, the more professionals and experts use it, and the more that customers use it, the more you're going to see how this technology is going to fit into the lives of people. One thing that we talk about frequently are compliments, substitutes and compliments when we're working with the patient. And compliments are things that bolster your ability to exist in an industry or a market just because of its existence. So to put color to that, like a hamburger. A hamburger is one thing, but without ketchup and mustard, people eat less hamburgers. However, no one just goes to a restaurant and orders a packet of mustard. That has to come with a hamburger or a hot dog. And so those are compliments to one another. There are other technologies that exist that will serve as complements to your technology, but you in turn become a complement for some other technology because you have the inventiveness to go out and say, we want to create the guided app. And that's what's amazing about technology, is because it can integrate and help accentuate other technologies. You know, lastly, as we wind down here on the show, is what has been probably the biggest reward out of becoming a startup founder? I mean, I know a lot of bad stories. There's so many that fail in such a quick amount of time, but there's also rewards that come out of it regardless of how long you've kept the company. But what do you view as a reward now since you've embarked on this journey?
I think the reward really lies in the feedback, you know, from both our customers and our professionals and experts. And you know, just hearing from a customer say, wow, you know, this was great. It saved so much time, and it gave me the solution that I needed, or the answer to my question that I needed. It just made my life easier. And, you know, for the professionals, sort of along the same lines, you know, I was able to get paid for giving advice. And so, I mean, when you hear that you can make somebody's life a little bit easier, you know, especially, you know, this world that we live in where, you know, it's just a high-paced world, high-paced life, and, you know, there's always just so much going on. You know, being able to help people and being able to make their life just a little bit easier, save them a little bit of time and money, you know, for us, that's really all the reward and all the motivation we need, you know, to keep going.
If someone wanted to find the guided app, how do they find it?
Yeah, very easily. So, you can go to www.theguidedapp.com, and there'll be links to the App Store on the Play Store that you can go in and download the app, or you can just go directly to the App Store or the Play Store and search for the Guided App. And it'll be, it should be come up as the first or second result. And you'd be able to download the app and get started. And if you, if anybody runs into any issues, I answer a lot of the customer service requests and support myself. So you'd be working, you know, directly with me for whatever help you need a lot of the time.
You know, speaking of working with you, how does a professional that wants to be featured in there or provide their services to you, how do they get in contact with you?
You can email me at steve@theguidedapp.com. Just email me, and, you know, we could set up a quick call or have a discussion through email, and I'll figure out, you know, how I can help, and, you know, we'll go from there.
You know, when you're building this company out, you know, did you build it out with the initial intent of helping out the average person that needs assistance, or was the model more about helping out business owners and contractors with assisting their clients? Which one was the chicken or the egg?
I think it was more from the customer side, and then, you know, the helping out business owners or experts and professionals was definitely an added benefit. But I think it definitely started from my experience as a customer and wanting to solve, you know, that specific problem.
You know, and as you navigate it through there, you find that, you know, sometimes priorities change, sometimes they remain the same. But based on what I know of the Guided App, it's an equal benefit for clients and for professionals alike, because the technology is marrying the two in a way that isn't quite done in other ways. I mean, there's some other, you know, competitors, if you will, but they're not doing it in this way. A lot of them are just simply matchmaking, just from, if you need someone to come out, this is who you take a look at, and then they come out. But yours goes a step further, and it involves that interaction, and that interaction makes all the difference. And so in that instance, are there other features that you're eyeing with version 2 or version 3 that may be coming down the pike outside of just having an enterprise method for professionals? Is there anything else that you've been thinking about that will make this, the Guided App, something that will create loyalty out of the customer base?
Yeah, so definitely some features and functionality. So, you know, a feature, you know, would be a way to rate, you know, your expert or professional, and for the professionals and experts to rate the customers on the experience, you know, stuff like that. Also, a web application. So, you know, sometimes if a professional's, you know, on their phone, you know, having video calls with people, it would be easier to sit in front of a laptop, sort of a, you know, idea. And so those are, you know, improvements that, you know, will be coming, you know, with versions 2 and 3 and so on. But in addition to those things, you know, we do a subscription service. So for customers, instead of paying per call for each call, if you, you know, feel like maybe you're a new homeowner, or maybe there's a specific set of professions, you know, that you feel like you are going to be using over the next 6 months or a year or whatever, you know, then we would offer, we plan to offer a subscription for those customers so that they can, you know, instead of, again, paying for those individual calls, you know, just pay a monthly fee or something like that. And, you know, that gives them up to a certain number of calls, you know, for the month. Also for professionals and experts, you know, one thing is that we plan to offer once we implement location, you know, implementing location and knowing, you know, where a customer and where professionals are, if they, you know, opt into that, is giving them the opportunity to get a referral service. So maybe I'm talking to a plumber. I'm in California, plumber's in Texas, but I need somebody to actually come out. Well, then a referral service would allow that plumber to refer people who, other plumbers who are in California, to provide service on the app and come out in person if that's needed. And then one final quick thing we'll mention is just, you know, partnerships. So if I, again, just keeping with the plumber example, if a plumber is, you know, recommending equipment or tools, you know, having a partnership with businesses for you know, referral services for their parts or equipment is something that we're also considering.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Stephen Fuller, thanks so much for joining us today with the Guided App. I am Dr. Baker. This is Doctor's Orders, and we'll see everyone tomorrow for Worldwide Wednesday. Have a great one.
you for joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.